Listen, everybody, to the words I have to say. Better get ready. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White III with the Second Coming Watch update. This is update number 941. Let's take a quick look at today's prophecy-related headlines, which point towards the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the end of the world as we know it. First, today under the sign category of earthquakes in diverse places, according to CNN, Scott Langley with the National Tsunami Warning Center said Monday afternoon the magnitude 7.5 earthquake near Sand Point, Alaska, generated a tsunami. Langley said the tsunami sent two waves, each measuring 4 feet, 3 inches high. But observers on shore reported the waves appeared to be 1.5 feet and 2 feet over high tide. The center is monitoring harbors in a 500-mile area along the Alaska coastline. Tsunami advisories issued for parts of Alaska and the state of Hawaii following the earthquake. Were canceled Monday night, according to tweets from the National Weather Service Pacific Tsunami Warning Center. Second, today, under the sign category of reestablishment of Israel, according to the Jerusalem Post, Israeli and Bahraini officials plan to sign a normalization declaration in Manama Sunday that will launch diplomatic relations and peace between the two countries. An Israeli official told reporters on Saturday night, from tomorrow there will be full diplomatic relations between Israel and Bahrain after the joint declaration. The signing ceremony builds on the statement of intent between the two countries signed in Washington on September the 15th, which still lacks the status of a full-fledged agreement. The Israeli official referred to the document as a joint communique, but explained that in practice, full diplomatic relations will be in place by the end of the day, Sunday. After the signing, work can begin on the establishment of embassies in both countries. The scheduled Israeli-Bahraini ceremony follows the Knesset vote Thursday to authorize Israel's peace deal with the United Arab Emirates. Third, today, under the sign category of famines, according to Reuters, United Nations Food Agency, Food and Agriculture Organization, says this year's locust invasion is Ethiopia's worst in 25 years. It has damaged an estimated 200,000 acres of land there since January, threatening food supplies. A single square kilometer swarm can eat as much food in a day as 35,000 people and the livelihoods of millions. It is part of a once-in-a-lifetime succession of swarms that have plagued East Africa and the Red Sea region since late 2019. With the coronavirus plague pandemic exacerbating the crisis this year by disrupting the FAO's supply chain of pesticides and other equipment to fight them off. Conflict and chaos in Yemen, where some of the swarms originated, have made spraying pesticide by airplane at source impossible. That, combined with unusually heavy rains, have swelled the swarms spreading across Ethiopia. The World Bank has said the insects could cost East Africa and Yemen $8.5 billion this year, and the FAO's Ethiopia representative, Fatuma Said, fears the pattern of destruction will be repeated next year. She said infestation will continue into 2021. We are being reinvaded, and the swarms will then go to Kenya. Fourth today under the sign category of turmoil in the Middle East. According to Newsweek, an Iranian official said that the Islamic Republic was looking forward to buying and selling weapons with a number of international partners as a United Nations arms embargo, preventing it from doing so, was set to lift in days, a development that the United States has condemned as damaging to global security. The expiration of the decade-old UN restrictions set to take place Sunday would come after a largely unsuccessful U.S. campaign to convince countries to defy the 2015 Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action and the accompanying UN Security Council Resolution 2231 to extend the ban on Iran's arms industry. Iran has yet to formally announce any specific country arms deals. Officials, however, have repeatedly discussed the prospect of doing business with U.S. rivals Russia and China, who have been vocally critical of President Donald Trump's maximum pressure campaign to isolate Iran. Fifth today, under the sign category of wars and rumors of wars, according to the South China Morning Post, Beijing is stepping up the militarization of its southeast coast as it prepares for a possible invasion of Taiwan. Military observers and sources have said the People's Liberation Army has been upgrading its missile bases, and one Beijing-based military source said it has deployed its most advanced hypersonic missile, the DF-17, to the area. The source said the DF-17 hypersonic missile will gradually replace the old DF-11s and DF-15s that were deployed in the southeast region for decades. The new missile has a longer range and is able to hit targets more accurately. Beijing regards Taiwan as a breakaway province, which it has vowed to take back, and by force if necessary. Relations between Beijing and Taipei have deteriorated since Tsai Ing-wen from the independence-leaning Democratic Progressive Party was elected as president in 2016 and refused to accept the One China principle. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the prophetic passage of Holy Scripture that we are looking at today is Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22-32, and we're focusing today on Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 31-32. And then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Allow me to share with you some commentary on this passage from the Exploring Bible Prophecy from Genesis to Revelation by Dr. Tim LaHaye and Dr. Ed Heinzen. This new condition will assure Israel's permanent residence in the land and guarantee that God's name will never again be profaned among the nations. This connection is drawn in verse 28, where the fulfillment of God's new covenant law results in a reestablishment of Israel in his land. The possession of this land was unconditionally promised to Israel's descendants in the phrase, "And you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers." God will restore the people of Israel to the land because he promised that the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would have it forever as an everlasting possession. In keeping this promise, God would restore his reputation among both Israel and the nations as the faithful God who keeps his covenant. The enjoyment of promised new covenant blessings will provoke the nation to repentance by causing the people to remember their sinful past and their iniquities. A similar response is seen in Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1-6, a hymn of praise as Israel enters the millennial kingdom. This repentance is depicted in Ezekiel 36:31 by the words "remember," which means a recognition or discernment which turns toward God, and "loathe," which indicates a self-loathing. The objects of repentance are stated to be the people's evil ways and deeds that were not good. As the Bible makes clear, terms that refer to moral action in the bad sense and the practice of wanton evil deeds in connection with ritualistic idolatry. Thus, Israel, with a new nature, the indwelling of the Spirit, and the promised blessings of the millennial kingdom, will understand its history of disobedience from the divine viewpoint and respond in repentance. Ezekiel 36:32 reminds Israel that her experience of renewal is the result of grace, not for your sakes, a new internalized recognition. Niphal, a major verb stem in biblical Hebrew of yada or no, has a reflective nuance of the character of God, which drives the nation to a deeper experience of spiritual repentance over its failure to properly honor God. Dear friend, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at the prophetic passages of the Holy Bible, the Word of God, in our next podcast. Our second coming quote for today is from Dr. J.C. Ryle. He said, "I can only say that I am more and more convinced as I grow older that to keep our eyes steadily fixed on the second coming of Christ is one great secret of Christian peace." Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you once again for our time together as we are reminded by your holy word regarding your blessed hope, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church. And Lord, help us to keep looking up because our redemption draweth nigh. Help us to keep our focus on you and on your second coming and not on what's going on in the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
If you are not ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, may I encourage you to get ready. Get ready today by receiving him as your Savior. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Keep looking up, dear friend, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let us join in the prayer of John the Revelator when he prayed, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." God bless you.